Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Draft Day 2019, now 11 hours and 2 minutes away from the NFL draft commencing, and the Arizona Cardinals, at the moment short of a trade, are on the clock for the NFL draft. Our live coverage of round one begins at 7 o'clock tonight. Mike Conney, Randy McMichael, Wes Durham, and Dave Archer live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All of the picks of round number one from 1 through 32 live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So if you're not in front of your TV and you want to make sure you catch up on the draft, the way to do it when you're in your car tonight is to listen to us. And you might want to listen to us at home too, especially around the time the Falcons get their pick, because of the analysis that you'll get from Wes and Dave and Randy Mack, as opposed to the analysis you're going to get from some helmet-headed guy on some television channel, okay? I'm just saying. You know, it's going to be our analysis, which is going to be what you need. Now, having said that, it's also going to be a big night for Avengers. How are you going to work this out? Now,
are you, nothing to work out, John.
Because now, when you have the alerts on your phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your phone flashes every time there's an alert.
Listen. Like I said,
you're going to be at a packed theater, and somebody behind you is going to go, dude.
I wish somebody would. First of all, that would be not the way to ask me not to do my phone. Don't hit me with the dude, because the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth is probably a curse word, and it's not going to be nice. I mean, listen, I am still working on me. I'm not going to lie. I'm still working on me. But that's not the way to get me to do something, is hit me with the dude, and then your tone. If you want me to do something, I suggest that your tone be in a nice, friendly tone, and then I'll do it.
So if
excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Could I ask, bro,
you can even hit me with a bro. Hey, bro, could you not be? All right, then, dog, I got you. But if you hit me with that dude, and then you have a little, like, twang in your voice, it's going to be a problem. Like I said, I'm still working on me, and I'm still working out these issues that I have with certain ways that people tend to talk to folks. So I would suggest, if you want me to do anything, that's probably not the way to start it out.
I'm already left out of the Game of Thrones conversation.
You about to be left out this Thanos conversation.
Apparently, but I haven't even seen Infinity Wars yet. I know I have it in my queue on, Netflix or Prime, one of the two. I just haven't gotten around to it. Primarily, I was going to watch it last weekend, and then I realized I hadn't watched any Wicked Tunas, and there were like 8 of them up there, and I had to get my Wicked Tuna on.
Well, John, just don't worry about it, man, because we about to do, like, tomorrow morning, it's going to be some blown minds up in this studio, and it's going to be some excitement that's going to be had. I'm not going to spoil it. I promise you. People, I am not going to spoil it for you. It's some people in the car right now riding to work that are mad at me as we speak, because they feel like I'm going to spoil the movie. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you anything about what I saw, but I will let you know if it's worth going to see. I'll let you know that. But I would never spoil this one, because this movie, they say the pre-sales for this one could be almost in the billion.
Dollars.
Yeah.
$1 billion. An all-time record. And they're showing it 24 hours at a lot of, because Daryl's going at 1:20 in the morning. Yeah. That's a 24-hour showing.
Yeah. It's going to be, John, I would venture to think that from the time they start showing the movie until way into the wee hours of the morning, it's going to be people lined up to see it.
Thanks, oh, yeah. Captain Obvious.
Yeah, that was kind of obvious, huh? Yeah, duh, dummy. But anyway.
You couldn't go with Daryl at 1:20?
No, I can't. You know what? Because I'd be probably in the gym. And I have some things I have to accomplish. But if I could have found a movie at that time, I couldn't go, because I'm taking my son. And we've been doing this since he's been a little lad. I remember when we sat in the Spider-Man movie, and he was little, and he ain't paying attention to the movie, but he sat. And I remember one of the first movies we went to together, it was his mother was pregnant with him, and he was in the movie theater. So it's one of those things where it's almost like tradition that I have to go. with, you know, we all kind of go together because we've been kind of doing it for so long. It's kind of is what it is. So, yeah, we're going to go check it out. You know, I'm going to get the big bucket of popcorn. And I'm going to have my phone. I'm going to have my alerts on. And like I said, if we are at the same movie theater and if my phone's going off and, you know, just a suggestion, now you do whatever it is you want to do. But, I mean, you get more done with sugar than you can salt. That's all I'm saying. Still working on me.
Got a lot going on in the NFL draft tonight, asking you a lot of questions. Who will the Falcons take with their number one pick? Will they trade up? Will they trade down? What would surprise you the most? It's one of our polls that we're working on right now. What would be the most surprising thing the Falcons can do in the draft tonight? Would it be a major trade up to the top five? Would it be trading out of the first round? Would it be drafting a defensive back in the first round? Or would it be drafting a running back as high as round number two? Which all of those would be, I think, surprising on some level. Back to this thing about the offensive line that Nate Javis just said, and we'll get to some of your reaction as well on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line on our phones as well, too. And we appreciate the people that have been patient. A lot to work through this morning. Nate Davis, USA Today, is the second person that has said, Jim Nagy being the other from ESPN, who told us on Monday that the Falcons are going to go offensive line number one. I want to make sure that I'm clear. I don't have a problem with the Falcons going offensive line number one. I don't even have a problem with the Falcons going defensive back number one. What I want is for them to tell me that this is a win now. This guy is an impact player. You're not drafting. Somebody said you got to get depth on the offensive line. And I said, if you're drafting for depth in your first pick, you're doing it wrong. You have to get a guy that will be impactful. And I don't know how to break down the offensive lineman, Hugh. I saw Jonah Williams got kicked on his butt a few times by Clemson's defensive line. But if Jawan Taylor is that guy, fine. I'm good with that. He's just got to be that impactful player right now. That's all.
And that's all it is. I'm of this mindset when it comes to Coach Quinn in this draft. Coach Quinn has done a great job, and Thomas Dimitroff. Don't want to slight Thomas Dimitroff because they're like of the same mind. They've done a great job of getting guys that come in here and play. They've done a great job of that. I'm not questioning that at all. If they get an offensive lineman in the first round, in the first very first pick, yes, will I be surprised? Yes. But that would say to me that he's going to be a starter. He's going to be penciled in at a starter at some point because you do not – it's not musical chairs when it comes to offensive linemen. Those guys need to get in there and they need to work together like almost immediately. So if they draft a tackle or a guard in the first round – he's the starter. He's penciled in as a starter. You can book that. The only thing that's going to keep him off the field is if he can't get the plays, if he can't learn the plays. That's the only thing that's going to keep him off the field. If they draft a lineman in the first round, he's your day one starter. He is your day one starter. And you're talking about depth, one of those other guys that you just got, they're moving to the back. They're going to be the second stringer. But he's going to be the starter. So I don't have a problem. I'm not going to sit here, and if the Falcons take a lineman – with the first pick, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, my gosh, what were they thinking? No, I'm not going to do that because everybody that they've drafted so far has come in and contributed. So he's going to be I automatically assume that guy is the starter, whomever he is. He's the starter.
It is going to be fascinating. Our coverage begins of the draft tonight at 7 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As mentioned, wall-to-wall coverage from 7 until the end of the first round, whenever that maybe somewhere right around midnight. If the Falcons stay at 14, what time do they draft? If it's 10 minutes a pick and they use all 10 minutes, it's going to take, a couple of hours? So somewhere in the 10:15 to 10:20 range tonight, somewhere around there, I would think, if they stay at 14, somewhere in there. Corey in Covington has been very patient. We appreciate that, Corey. So, Corey, what in your opinion as a Falcons fan are they going to do in round one?
Hey, man, but in the first round, man, he needs to draft Christian Wilkinson because he got size. Montez Sweat because he's very dual. They're most likely not going to trade up, but if they do trade up, then it's probably going to be either tomorrow or Saturday.
Right.
That's it, man.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. Do you think they trade up? See, again, we only know what we don't know, Hugh. How much do they value Ed Oliver, who's rise? I think the problem with Ed Oliver anymore is that his stock – over the last, say, 10 days to 2 weeks, has risen above what the Falcons can afford.
Has it risen to that point?
Well, I think it's risen. If the Falcons, if he was going to be, if he falls to Detroit at 8, It won't shock me if the Falcons make a move up. But if he goes, if the Jets are really looking at him at number three ahead of Quinnen Williams, then the answer has got to be no.
Well, that's a high draft. That's a high stakes to pay for a guy that, you know, you got to move up so far for. But is it really, if you feel like he's a generational player, if you feel like he's on the same, if he's the same caliber as a Julio Jones, can he make your team that better? I think that's the thing that we should look at, John. I look at it like this. Thomas Dimitroff hit a home run when he moved up in the draft to get Julio Jones. And if you do that in this draft, that's what you're comparing this move to. I mean, and is that a lot of pressure to put on somebody? Yes, it is. But when you think about the only time that the Falcons have done this and they've given up a lot to get a guy, it's been Julio Jones. And Julio Jones has been nothing but stellar. So, in my mind, if you decide to move up to get Ed Oliver, to me, Ed Oliver in 5 years is going to be comparative to Julio Jones in the sense that he's a game changer. So that's what that says to me. If that's how you feel about Ed Oliver, then guess what? When they get here and they have training camp, I am going out there and I'm taking Ed Oliver to the lab in shorts and a helmet to see what type of guy he is and what did they see. Every play that Ed Oliver is out there on the field this year, if he's an Atlanta Falcon, I'm taking him to the lab and I'm looking to see what he sees, what they see.
You know, I tend to agree with you. I think when we talk about impactful starter, no matter the position at number 14, and a guy that's going to have a big impact on this team, start from day one and do that. But if you trade up to 5 or 3 or whatever to get an Ed Oliver, we're no longer talking about impactful starter. We're talking about defensive rookie of the year. That's what you got to get out of him. He's got to be that good.
That's the comparison. That is the comparison because think about it, John. We're all sitting here talking about we think the Falcons are going to move up. If you move up anywhere in the top 10, if you move up to 5, I would say if you move up to 10, I don't think the expectations are as lofty. But if you're moving up to 2 to 3 to get Ed Oliver, then yes, he to me has to have in the span of his career, not in his first year, people, but in the span of his career, he has to be on the same trajectory as a Julio Jones. And he has to be, to me, head and shoulders better than anybody that you have on that defensive line, Grady Jarrett included.
I agree.
He has to be that, to me. If you're putting him in that stratosphere of a Julio Jones moving all the way up, then that's what he has to be. He has to be a guy that when you sit there, you see him play, the first game, you're like, oh, yeah,
Okay, all right.
Yep. And I know that's lofty, and that's probably something.
No, but I agree.
That's something that you shouldn't put on a young player. But if you're Thomas and coach, y'all moving all the way up to get that cat,
yep,
that's what you're doing. You're putting him in that position to be on the same trajectory as a Julio Jones.
We're talking about the draft day 2019. Wall-to-wall coverage, of course. We will talk a little bit about the Braves coming up later in the program. And Jason Longshore will join us in about 10 minutes to update us on the Five Stripes ahead of their game tomorrow against the Colorado Rapids. But a lot of draft talk today, as you would imagine, throughout the programming. Dukes and Bell will be 2 to 7. Well, the midday show is going to be live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Dukes and Bell are going to be live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then our coverage of the draft begins at 7. And again, the Falcons will pick because the draft itself starts at 8. So I would say somewhere around 10:20, 10:30 tonight, the foul, if they don't move up or move back, if they stay at 14, somewhere in the 10:20 range tonight, if they stay at number 14. As mentioned, the midday show is going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, 10 to 2 today. You can enter on-site for a chance to win an autographed Devontae Freeman jersey. Dukes of Bell are going to be there tomorrow. Tonight they're going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They'll be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw tomorrow for our draft coverage, which is all brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. So take advantage of huge savings at northerntool.com. Midday show today at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, right there off Barrett Parkway in Kennesaw, and they're going to be drawing for an autographed Devontae Freeman jersey between 10 and 2, so drop on by and have lunch. Well, don't get there at 10. I don't think they open till 11, I think. Show's going to be there 10 to 2, but I think they open at 11 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And if you're going northbound, you just get off right there at take a right, and you can't miss it.
Oh, are Bunky Pants on location today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Great way to go, Bunky Pants.
Yeah, so he's going to be out there eating those fine the food at Twin Peaks is pretty good, too.
Oh, no, it's very, very good. And the ambiance, the scenic view. What they call it, scenic views. And the commercial is called the scenic views. Yeah, scenic views are nice. Do you know who Bunky Pants is with today?
I think he's with Emily Austin.
You know, I think, Emily, if you're listening, you left your computer charger here in the studio. And seeing that you're the type that I'm pretty sure going out to Twin Peaks, you're going to need your computer. If you're listening, you probably need to go
get by and get it.
Swing by and get that.
There are actually prop bets in Vegas for the draft tonight. And one of those prop bets is, will a running back be taken in the first round? And the answer is, of course, we don't know. But isn't that interesting? You know, one of the bets is kind of a yes or no, because the over-under is 0.5, which makes it a yes or no question. Will a running back be taken in round one? This is one of those years where we don't know that a running back will be taken in round one. And I don't know. You could fall on either side of that. It's a coin flip. You mentioned mostly draft today, but there are other things that are catching our attention. Can the Five Stripes get back on the winning side? What Jason Longshore has to say about that.
It's John and Hugh.
Get my vote.
Go!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Draft Day 2019 from the Kia Studios. We'll continue our coverage leading up to our coverage of the draft, which begins at 7 o'clock tonight from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But we do have other issues we want to get into, peeking around the corner to the weekend when Atlanta United plays host to the only team that didn't have a win this year, the Colorado Rapids. We are joined by Jason Longshore. His interview is brought to you by Heineken 0.0, great taste and zero alcohol. Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on, John and Hugh?
No, nothing much, man. Okay, we're going to get right to it. What is your overall assessment from last week's match?
Frustrating one. Very frustrating because you give up the early goal. And that's what changes everything in it. Atlanta United played well. They created chances. They took shots. They had shots on goal. Jesse Gonzalez made a number of big saves. But when you concede in the sixth minute, you're always running uphill. Atlanta United's had a problem with this season, conceding goals in the first 10 minutes of matches. That has to stop if Atlanta United's going to make the progress that everybody's looking for.
When you talk about frustrating, does that mean that now we should be in panic mode when it comes to this team, Jason?
No, I don't think it's panic mode, because it's not that. For me, it'd be panic mode if we weren't creating the chances like we are now. If it was like the first three games of the season where you had 8 shots on goal combined in your first 3 league matches. Last 3, you've had 21. It's progress. You are making good opportunities for yourself in the final third. The problem is you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, and it's not awful defensive play as a whole, because you're not giving up that many goals in the grand scheme of things. You're giving up goals at really bad times and matches early on.
Yes, and playing from behind and whatnot. Jason, this team keeps saying, and we see, you know, the frustration of Ezekiel Barco hitting the post and hitting the crossbar and Joseph being in front of the goal. Jason, how many goals do you think Joseph Martinez has missed? At least 4 or 5? That he would have scored last year? I mean, point-blank things he just has whiffed on? I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but he went through these stretches last year, too, and he went through these stretches in 2017, and you're not going to find a forward in the world that doesn't go through these stretches. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, as great as he's been in the league this season, he didn't score last night for the LA Galaxy, and he had chances. It's something that forwards do. It's just like home run hitters go through a slump and aren't hitting home runs. Sometimes it happens. You have to keep giving yourself the chances, and the team has to keep providing those chances. Tata Martino talked about it plenty of times over the last couple of years. Frank DeBoer's the same way. If you're not creating the chances, you have a very big problem. Atlanta United had that problem in the first 3 games. They made some tweaks to get more players forward. They're doing that. They're creating the chances. They're just not finishing them right now.
When you look at the adversity that this team has had so far this year, you know, it's not nowhere close to what it was last year. Do you still feel like it's building character going through all these troublesome times that they're having?
Yeah, I do. I think it's building character, you know, as a whole. I think even for the fan base, because it is something different. You know, this is something that we haven't seen with Atlanta United from day one. I mean, even in the first half of 2017, everything was brand new. So people had a little bit of a different perspective, but Atlanta United was a little more up and down, and you were seeing a lot of goals. This is different. This is a very different situation right now. You look at how 2019 has gone. You know, you had CONCACAF Champions League at the beginning, which is a difficult way to start your year for the first time. you had the injuries, and not injuries to a Joseph Martinez or an Ezekiel Barco, but injuries to guys like Franco Escobar and George Bello, two guys that are very important to the way that I think ultimately Frank DeBoer wants to play, but he hasn't had both of them at all together this season. So we've kind of had to piece things together early on. Now it's starting to come together. You really need to get those guys back so you can start to get that progress taken another step.
Talking with Jason Longshore ahead of Atlanta United in Colorado, I realize, and Mike Connie likes to remind me, your broadcast buddy, that it's still early and seven teams do make the playoffs and Atlanta United could get hot and we're singing a different tune a month from now about, wow, everything is going great. But at the same time, as all of these games progress, until I start to see something, Jason, I start to grow more and more concerned as to whether or not that switch is actually going to be flipped on. Is that fair?
I mean, it depends. That's fair. I mean, you're 6 points out of the playoffs right now, and you have two games in hand on New York City. So two wins, you're right there. So that's why I think Mike says that, and he's 100% correct. This upcoming month, 5 weeks, up until the CONCACAF Gold Cup break at the beginning of June, that's where things get really interesting because you have a number of matches. You're going to have some midweek matches thrown in. You're going to have some travel. That's where you have to make some progress in the standings. The good thing is right now, nobody's running away in the Eastern Conference. The teams that you thought you would be battling for the top of the East, one of them is right there with you on 5 points in the New York Red Bulls. New York City has started to put it together now that they've signed a forward. Toronto has so far been the best team in the Eastern Conference, but DC United has 17 points in 9 matches. Montreal has 14. It's not anybody running away from the rest of the pack, but Atlanta has to start making some progress over these next 5 weeks.
Okay, with Frank DeBoer, you know, this team is not where it was last year when Tata was here. If you're Frank DeBoer, are you starting to feel a little bit of pressure not living up to the expectations that Atlanta United fans have for this club?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think, you know, a club like Atlanta United has pressure that a club like the New England Revolution doesn't. A club like the Colorado Rapids doesn't. And that's a good thing. I mean, you see that with the top teams in any league, in any sport. They're going to have a different set of pressure, a different level of expectation than the rest. And Atlanta has set that bar really high in Major League Soccer. And I think Frank DeBoer, as a manager who has worked at big clubs, as a player who has played at big clubs, played in World Cups, I think he completely understands that. And I think, honestly, he embraces it. What I hope is that this group of players can embrace that as well, because they haven't went through this type of pressure together yet. This is a different pressure than the postseason last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Jason Longshore, part of the broadcast team. Of course, you can follow him at Long Shoe on Twitter about Atlanta United, the Colorado Rapids, 6 o'clock kick Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Boy, I hate asking the same question for the fifth week in a row, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When does it click for Pity Martinez?
I don't know. The 30 minutes we saw of him last week was actually really good. Created 4 chances in that period of time. Great chip over the top to Joseph Martinez, and again, one of those that you thought Joseph was going to put on goal and missed it just wide. I thought we saw a different level of Pity Martinez in a short stint last week. It needs to get to 90 minutes fit pretty soon because you're going to have players who are going to need breaks in this set of games in May because you're going to have those Wednesday games mixed in. You need to get Pity Martinez in. Luckily, the attack has been looking pretty good in terms of creating chances without him. He should be able to take that to another level, but he's just got to get 100% fit and comfortable in this group.
What is the state of the team overall, in your opinion, right now, as we sit here today, ahead of this game against Colorado? Are you 100% confident they're going to be able to turn this and get to the playoffs right now today? You say 100% guaranteed?
Yeah, I am, because of the talent they have. I think still, when you look at the Eastern Conference, the only team that is on the same level with them in pure talent is Toronto. And I think Toronto has some bigger issues than Atlanta does potentially in their roster. But right now you have other teams who are playing better at the moment, and that's something that Atlanta has to change. They have to be sharper in the individual moments, because I don't think it is the overall quality of play is not the issue for me. It's the individual moments where things break down and mistakes are made, and opposition's punishing them for those in big ways right now.
Well, Jason, I keep looking forward to this team, you know, breaking loose and scoring four or five goals. I'm not sure that happens on Saturday, despite the fact Colorado's got the worst defense in Major League Soccer, and they don't have a win this year. They're the worst team in the league, only because I think there's some expectation that Colorado could put as many as nine men back, you know, and just pack the back line and just say we're playing for a 0-0 draw because we have no chance to really do anything else. So is it possible they're going to just park the bus from the opening kick?
I think Colorado comes in a very defensive stance. They're missing their defensive midfielder, Jack Price, due to red card suspension. Their back line has been a problem all season. I don't know if they go to three center backs or not. Haven't really seen as much of that out of Anthony Hudson's group. But they would be happy with a scoreless draw. If they got a point out of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they'd be ecstatic. Atlanta United's going to have to break that down, and that's where your players like Barco, like Pitti, like Gressel, those creative players, the passers, are going to have to find the gaps between the lines when Colorado sits back in defense.
So are we going to win Saturday or no?
I think they are. I think it's about that time to break out, and I think it's one of those things that if you do get the early goal instead of conceding it, you could start to see that momentum that we have seen before. You get one goal and the second comes quickly and the third comes quickly. That's what this team needs. They need a game like that to break out.
So, Jason, if they don't win, should we panic?
Panic, no, because there's so much time, but hit the incredibly concerned button, yeah.
That's yeah, you know that's
you need 3 points here.
You know that's right next to that panic button, like real close.
Oh, I know.
Incredibly concerned panic button. They're kind of like right there together.
I moved right to the left of the panic button. It's right there.
Thanks, Jason. Do appreciate.
Thanks, guys.
Jason Longshore at Long Shoe on Twitter. Atlanta United, Colorado Rapids, 6 o'clock kick on Saturday night. Our coverage begins at 5:30. Randy Mack coming up top of the hour. We'll talk to Randy McMichael about his impression of the draft and the draft coverage tonight. That's at 9 a.m. We'll check in on the Braves next as we continue on this draft day 2019 with John and you on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hit shot, score!
Atlanta United are back in action.
As they kick off Season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, it's draft day 2019. Our coverage all day long. Midday show is going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw from 10 to 2. Dukes and Bell will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium from 2 to 7. And then the draft show, our coverage begins at 7 tonight of the NFL draft. And if the Falcons stay at 14, we estimate about a little over somewhere around 2 hours to get to their pick. And that would be about 10 o'clock. Pick number one will come just after 8, so...
Oh, so I might be good then, because I'll probably be getting out the movie theater around that time, so I should be in pretty good shape.
What time's your movie start?
7:30.
So,
about 10:30, 11. Yeah, 10:30, 11. Yeah, because you know you got the previews and everything, right. So really technically 8 o'clock.
I know everybody says, oh, the movie starts at 7 o'clock. No, and the movie starts probably at 7:15, 7:20.
Yeah.
The preview, well, that is the previews start at, or trailers, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, yeah.
But be that as it may, so somewhere it's going to be, you know, kind of a long night because usually is in the opening round of the NFL draft, but that's okay. What will the Falcons do? Randy Mack's going to join us at the top of the hour, and we'll talk to Randy Mack about the draft show tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and, of course, about what he thinks the Falcons will do. And we're having a couple of polls and things that you can weigh in on our Twitter at 929 The Game that we'll update you on in just a moment. Also in the 9 o'clock hour, Randy Mack at 9, Kelsey Conway is going to join us live from Cincinnati at 9:20 and get her thoughts about where the Braves stand after another sterling performance from a young Braves pitcher in Mike Soroka last night, who got bailed out. Josh Tomlin came in and bailed him out a little bit, getting a one-pitch stop of a bases-loaded situation. Soroka gets the win, 5 2/3 with 7 strikeouts. And at the moment, the two best pitchers on the Braves staff, starting pitchers, well, two best pitchers, period, are Max Fried and Mike Soroka, combined age of like 40.
Basically, some young guns that look like they got ice water in their veins. That's pretty cool to see, though. It's pretty cool to see, especially in these early innings where they get in a little bit of trouble, and they seem to be able to work themselves out of it. That's to me, that's the sign of a really good pitcher. You can't let anything phase you because you live and die with each pitch that you throw. And sometimes you see it on the mound. Some pitchers, they get intimidated because they might get behind in the count or whatever, and they don't want to throw anything. So you got to – I think two good attributes to have as a pitcher. You got to have ice water in your veins, and you got to have amnesia. Got to have amnesia. And these two guys seem like they have both of those. And that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. David O'Brien, who used to go by Dave O'Brien when he was at the AJC.
David.
But he's now David O'Brien
at
the Athletic.
Pay raise.
Had the stat of the year. It just blew me away. We mentioned this earlier in the program. If you didn't hear this, take a wild guess, if you didn't hear it, what the Braves' record is this year when they're leading after seven innings. Okay, when they're leading after seven innings, what is their record? Because if you had asked me, I said, I don't know, 2-5, something like that.
Some horrible.
Right? They're 10-0. They're 10-0 when leading after seven innings. I would never have said that. Never. But because they've been blowing games before the seventh inning. That's the problem. Or at the seventh inning. They've been blowing games in the eighth and ninth. They've been blowing them in, you know, when they've had the lead. And somebody's like, whether they lost a game in extra innings, they didn't have the lead in that game. When they had the lead after seven innings and you blew a save, they're 10-0. So that's just a fascinating stat, considering you don't have Aroides Vizquel. You know, you're doing closer by committee. Heck, you're doing bullpen by committee. Bullpen was okay last night. The walk situation still is hanging out there because they have the most walks in Major League Baseball. And they didn't hit particularly well last night. Tanner Roark was a little funny last night in this game. He was all over the map. And when he would miss with pitches for Cincinnati, he'd miss by about 10 feet. And then he'd throw a strike. And then he'd throw one 5 feet wide. And then he'd throw a strike, which was, in a way, effective because it was confounding the hitters. Is this going to be remotely close to the plate, or is it going to be over the plate?
Yeah, a little bit confusing. But he was a guy that, I think last year, he was in the bullpen for the Cincinnati Reds. Wasn't he? I think he was in the bullpen for him, and then they moved him back into the starting rotation.
Yeah, he's been up and down.
So he's a guy. He's a little different. I thought that, I commend you for that, though, because you're talking about somebody who can, you know, when you're talking about potentially what we're going to do with some of these young arms that are not going to be starters, to move guys back and forth to the bullpen and starting position, that's a pretty good luxury to have when you look at it in the long terms. And I was thinking, because when I saw that, I was thinking about Sean Newcomb and potentially when he could come back up and where he could fit in to everything that's going on right now.
You know, I noticed another thing last night. I mean, a late arriving crowd, and that's because the game starts so early in Cincinnati. But I kind of like the 6:40 start, I got to say.
Yeah, because you get a chance to see the game. Even though when it got in them seventh and eighth innings, John, I faded.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's the time. He's talking about like 9-something. That's the time. That's sleepy time right there. So I started to fade a little bit. But, yeah, it was great to have a game that was early enough that you could see enough of it so that, you know, you could actually see what could potentially happen at the end. And on top of that, they got it in because it was rain. You know, rain was rolling in. Mm-hmm. And I think it drizzled a little bit last night, but they got it in.
Well, and again, credit to the Cincinnati Reds for doing the 6:40 start. But it does lead to the late-arriving crowd because I was like, why aren't there anybody at the game? And like the third inning, I went, why is there only like 8,000 people? And then I noticed by about the sixth
people
inning,
started that rolling.
Yeah, there was probably 20,000
people.
Hold
up. Did you notice something last night in the game where Chip Carey and Jeff Francoeur pointed out? They have bitten something that we do here in Atlanta. They bit the freezes gig, man.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And there was some
Reds dude.
Yeah, Reds dude. And I'm of the mindset of Chip and Jeff. That dude need to come. When Cincinnati come, they need to bring that cat with them. And, like, who's the best? Who's,
yeah, right.
Because you're like a cheap knockoff.
Yeah, because you stole that from us.
Daryl just said something in my ear. He said, everybody else been burning the freeze. Why not the Cincinnati do the same thing? No, I don't think the freeze has been getting burnt. He's been underestimating the ability of the people that he was taking on. Because, you know, freeze give him a nice little – he give him a nice little leeway. And he kind of – before you started reeling me in, he kind of underestimated that. This other cat, I don't know what he doing. But it don't look like he's giving them that much of a jump. And he's just blowing past folks. So, nah, man, that ain't cool. The mustache, the stash race, or whatever they call that junk. Man, go on with that. That's the freezes gig. And you don't even look that cool. Some little dude out there running around with a mustache on with a Cincinnati Reds outfit.
Right, I know.
What the hell, man? They ain't even creative.
I know. They stole it from the Braves. Hey, this is what baseball does, though, if you think about it. The Milwaukee Brewers started with a sausage race, right? And they had like a brat, an Italian sausage, a hot dog, I forget what else. Now they've got like a chorizo. I'm waiting for the egg roll. I don't know. I mean, they're going to have all these things running around out there. And then everybody started copying them. You had the presidents in Washington, you know, that were running and racing. And that's what they do. They steal an idea from somebody else. But, yeah, that was the Braves thing. And I was like, come up with your own thing, Cincinnati. But that's what they do.
Yeah, they bit the freezes game.
And this is, and all these freeze races and presidents and sausage races and whatnot came out of the advent, if you want to know where it started, with these big video boards, and they were doing something called dot races on the video boards, and they would do the gigantic video boards. And the old Fulton County did a dot race on the video board, and they would have – it was just a thing in between innings that somebody came up with.
I think him and the freeze need to go at it, though. I think they need to have Twitter – first, they need to have Twitter beef.
Do we know the name of the Reds dude?
The mustache.
Is that what they call him?
The stash, I guess. The stash. Something stupid.
Well, the grill is coming up next.
The griller, the grill meister, the grill master.
Randy McMichael going to join us. What does he think the Falcons will do? He's part of our draft coverage tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which begins live at 7 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk with Randy Mack as we continue on this draft day 2019 with John and Hugh on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!